Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If I began today by saying Dr. Paul Meyer wrote, many of you would know who I was talking about, but some may not. So let me begin. Dr. Paul Meyer is a 1954 graduate of Harvard University and a 1955 graduate of Concordia Lutheran Seminary in St. Louis. He's a history scholar specializing in the Roman Empire and the New Testament early Christian church. He also served as second vice president to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for many years. He has used this knowledge of history and the land of Israel to write many books, including a novel called A Skeleton in God's Closet. A Skeleton in God's Closet is a fictional account. Did you catch that? It's a fictional account of an archaeologist who goes to Israel and uncovers an ossuary. An ossuary is a burial box. And on the name of that box is the name Yeshua ben Joseph. In other words, Jesus, the son of Joseph. The fictional archaeologist believes that he has discovered the burial box with the bones of Jesus in it. The implications of his conclusion are potentially catastrophic for the Christian church. His alleged discovery would prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead and that the foundation of all Christian belief is gone. In the story, there's a debate. A debate over whether the burial box is actually that of Jesus, the son of Joseph, we know from the Bible, since Yeshua, Jesus, and Joseph were very common names at the time. You see, it could have been the burial box of any number of men with those names. But the discovery creates a debate. A debate about the truth of Jesus' resurrection. Now, Paul Meyer was not writing about his personal doubts in the resurrection of Jesus. He most certainly believes in the resurrection. His purpose in writing this fictional account was to get people to think about, to consider what it would mean for their faith if Jesus had not really risen from the dead. You see, another person named Paul, the Apostle Paul, purposes that same possibility in his first letter to the Corinthians. To actually get us to consider how absolutely essential the resurrection of Jesus is for our faith, for our forgiveness, and for our eternal salvation. As we continue today on our Easter journey, I would have to say, if you were to try to examine the most important event in all of Scripture, actually in all of history, Jesus' resurrection is that event. And today, we continue to follow that story as Jesus appears to the disciples in that upper locked room. Touch me and see. Jesus said to the disciples, touch me. There is something about a dead body. The coolness of it, the stillness of it. Life drained away leaves only cooling flesh and stiffness. To touch the dead is to feel death firsthand, to wonder at the change. To touch the dead is to touch your own life leading to your own death, to know that it will be you, unfortunately way too soon, cool and stiff. To touch the dead is to see that all that you have drain away from you to the darkness and doubt of fear. This is death as we see it and feel it and fear it. One pastor told me of a time when he was at the deathbed of a woman in the hospital. After she died, her daughter touched her face to rearrange her hair, and she goes, "Oh, mother's cold." And she pulled up the blanket over her dead mother's shoulders to warm her. You see, there's really no mistaking it by the touch. The dead have the touch of death. Death doesn't just make us feel cold, it makes us cold. The disciples were there. They were there cold in the locked room, huddled together, having seen Jesus dead. He was dead. There could be no doubt about that. The women went with Joseph of Arimathea to the tomb where the cold, dead body of Jesus had been laid, wrapped in a burial cloth, drained of its lifeblood, pale and stiff, pierced hand, pierced feet, cold as clay, dead Jesus. You can hardly blame the men for doubting the women who claimed to see him alive after he was dead. Peter and John ran to the tomb and found no Jesus, only Jesus' neatly folded burial cloth. What Jesus had said seemed so real and true when he was alive. But when he had bled to death on the cross, when the sword had been shoved into his side, any words about living again after death seemed as cold as the grave. They know the coldness of death is permanent. And then the two disciples came from Emmaus and said that they saw Jesus alive and walking and talking on the road. They said he told them how everything he did was written in Moses and the prophets, that he must suffer and die and rise again, and that they were foolish for not believing everything that he had told them. But how could it be true? How could it be true? And then here he is, Jesus himself standing among them. Even though they had just been talking about him being alive, when he is there, they can only be afraid. Even when they longed for him to be alive, Jesus actually being alive and standing there was a threat. They had deserted him and left him to die. They had ran. They hid, they lied, they denied. What they deserve is cold death. But Jesus brings peace. Peace to you. There is only good news in the Savior's words. There is no threat of death, no retribution for their doubts and their faithlessness, only peace. His word is forgiveness and life. And there's more for them. Touch me and see. I am alive. Blood flows again through my veins. See, I have flesh and blood and bone. What was dead is living. What was cold is warm. Touch me and see. You can almost see the scene in your mind. They push toward him and reach out with their hands shaking with fear. They reach out to convince themselves that he is alive and not dead, warm and not cold. They reach out to touch that flesh and bone and blood. They reach out to feel the warmth of a living human body. And Jesus is all of that. They come near enough not to only hear him breathe, but to actually feel his breath. They press their fingers into the nail prints in his hands. They look in his eyes. Jesus lives. He does the impossible. He was cold in death, and now he's warm in life. And suddenly, the disciples believe, and they hate death. They despise it. They curse it. They don't fear it anymore. Standing among them is death defeated. This is no phantom, no ghost. This is flesh and blood that has passed through death to life. This is the enemy vanquished, death undone. This is the sure promise of warm, physical, bodily, eternal life. They see through death to life. They long for life. They trust the Savior to do for them what he has done for himself. And the best of all of this is we hold this promise also. We face death's coldness in sure and certain hope of our own resurrection to warm, physical, bodily, eternal life. Our Lord gathers us to hear his words of promise. He comes here to touch us in his body and blood, bound together with bread and wine. We open our ears and our mouths and hear and taste and touch Jesus. Our hunger for life through death is satisfied. Our faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus is built and strengthened by his promises. We hate death. We despise it, we curse it, and sometimes, yes, sometimes, we really don't even fear it. For we go through death, just as Jesus' death, to new eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.